we are about to hear God's word read and proclaimed, let us ask him to bless that to us. Let us pray. Loving and gracious Father in heaven, as we have come now in our worship here to hear you speaking to us in the reading and the proclamation of your word, O Lord, grant us your spirit and your grace that we truly hear you speaking through your servant, but an earthen failing vessel. Apart from your work of grace and your spirit, he is truly just a bumbling idiot. He has nothing to say. May we truly worship you by hearing what you are saying to us. So bless your word, O Lord, for your honor and glory and for our good, as it is both read and proclaimed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you see, our text is the second verse in Psalm 23. We'll read the 23rd Psalm, but in preparation for that, let's also first read from Ezekiel chapter 34. It would be ideal if we read the whole chapter because it would kind of make more sense. But we'll just read verses 11 through 16, and then we'll read Psalm 23. So, Ezekiel 34 and Psalm 23. Let's begin by reading Ezekiel 34, starting at verse 11. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's word. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken, and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and feed them in judgment. Let's also listen to Psalm 23. Again, our text is verse 2 here. Psalm 23, continuing on in the reading of God's word. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord bless the reading and also the preaching of his word to us this morning. Dear brothers and sisters, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this week, we come to the end of another year. And we start a new year. Looking at the future, it's like looking at an adventure. But yeah, reading adventure stories, that can be enjoyable. You get excited about what's going to happen. Looking at life as an adventure, that can be very different. Because We don't know what will happen. And we can face the unknown with anxiety and fear. Obviously, there are many uncertainties. Some things are even rather fearful. Life is so often filled with bad things, pains, sorrows. We can get so anxious about having to face the future so that we're struck with fear, even panic. But then, the believer, a sheep in the flock of God, he finds comfort. Especially in those times of uncertainty about the future. You know how things will unfold for us in this new year. We find comfort because we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Remember, as we were going through John in chapter 10, we heard that he is the good shepherd. That he cares for the sheep, for us. He protects us. He is right there with us. He's so different from a hireling. A hireling. You know, he's just hired. When he sees danger, he's going to run. And he'll leave it. And Jesus said it's because he does not own the sheep. But the Lord is not like that. Because, as we confessed in Heidelberg Catechism number 1, he owns me. I belong to him. I belong to him with body and soul and both life and death. Because he fully paid for all my sins. So as a good shepherd, he's going to stay there and protect me and be with me. The good shepherd always thinks and acts in terms of the flock. And brothers and sisters, that is what Jesus Christ is busy doing. Do we realize that? Jesus Christ, as the Good Shepherd, he is at the Father's right hand. And there he is thinking and living and acting in terms of the flock. Of you and me. The Bible shows us the flock is the apple of his eye. The center and focus of his attention. It is his will that he and the flock should be bound together. And so he is always with us. Yeah, in the midst of all the stuff that we face in life. So brothers and sisters, as we look to the year ahead, may God's word speak great comfort to us also this morning. Especially in that we can say and know, as in our text from our theme, the Lord is my shepherd, he leads me. First of all, our first point is, he leads me into pleasant enjoyment of safety and rest. He leads me into pleasant enjoyment of safety and rest. Well, you know very well, the Bible tells us that life is a warfare. Also for believers, life includes trials, temptations, tough things, desires. From the law earlier in 1 Peter 2, we face fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So there are many things we face, even our own sin and sinfulness and our failures, and we have to fight against them. And they aren't going to go away in this new year ahead. So we walk, as David by the Holy Spirit said, through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet, in all of that, Think of it. In all of it, we say He leads us into safety and rest. Now, yeah, there is an eternal rest. Hebrews 4 speaks about a rest that remains for the people of God. But congregation, brothers and sisters, we have a foretaste of that rest here in this life. In other words, the best that you have now and that I have now, it gets even better. It will be perfect one day. The point is, here and now, we have safety and rest too. And it's because the Lord is my shepherd. So let's see what kind of safety and rest our shepherd affords to us now in this life. To see this, we have to understand some things about sheep. God the Holy Spirit uses sheep to speak about us, about ourselves. Well, there are several things that keep sheep from lying down. Literally, keeps them so that they won't lie down. For example, sheep will refuse to lie down if they're in fear and agitated. It can be a fear of hunger, fear of being tormented in some way by pests and beasts and so on. In order for sheep to lie down, to rest, they must have freedom from fear. Even fear of being hungry. And we have to recognize that only the sheep man, the shepherd, only he can provide freedom from these kinds of things. Every shepherd knows that a flock that is restless, discontented, fearful, agitated, such a flock never does well. And the same is true of any people, including those who are called the flock of God. Brothers and sisters, we will never do well if there is a constant discontentment, a fear, a restlessness, agitation. Another thing that's true of sheep is that they panic very easily. When just one sheep becomes startled and runs in fear, then many others, they will bolt along in blind fear following that sheep. They don't wait to see or learn what frightened the one sheep. They just run with it. You see, sheep are very helpless. Sheep have very little means of defense. If you think of most animals, every animal has its defense, how to protect itself. But sheep, of all animals, are the most defenseless. And that's why their only recourse, their only way out, you might say, is to run. That's their defense. And they run without even knowing where they're going. Well, brothers and sisters, this too is a picture, a God-given picture, of His flock. That's the reality also about ourselves. In our daily lives, we're actually very vulnerable. There are many possible agitations in our lives, many fears. And so often, our first recourse is to run in fear. Try to escape. So we need a shepherd. Every true shepherd knows there is nothing that so quiets and calms the sheep and reassures them as to see that the shepherd is there in the field with them. There's nothing else that can put sheep at ease as the presence of their master and their owner and their protector. And brothers and sisters, also in our life, there is no substitute for a clear awareness of the presence of our Lord, the Good Shepherd. Life is truly full of all kinds of mystery, adventure, which also includes fears and anxieties. No one can tell what kind of new troubles even a day will bring, let alone a year. And how easy it is to panic. Often it's the unknown, the unexpected, that produces the most panic. You know, we don't know how to cope because we haven't anticipated this or that. So our first impulse is to run. To escape. And it's very easy to fall into this in a lot of different ways. I've seen especially where people will stay away from attending worship. They will stay away from having Christian fellowship. But the more we learn that our shepherd is near, and the more we come to know him, that is, to know how he works, and to know how he speaks to us, then we hear him call. And he delivers us from fear. And we can say, he makes me to lie down. I have enjoyment, safety, rest. Well, there's then another thing. A great cause of sheep refusing to lie down. Sheep will never lie down unless they're free from friction with other sheep. They must have a release from tension and aggravations from among them. I'm sure you know that chickens have a pecking order. You know, there are some chickens who will peck other chickens. Cattle have, sometimes it's called a horning order, but I'm used to having it called a butting order. You know, where they lower the head and they push other cattle away? Well, sheep also have this. They have what's called a butting order. There is in any flock often a cunning and weathered old ewe who will come to dominate and to boss the others. That ewe will maintain her prestige, you know, her high position, by butting the other ewes and the other lambs. So she will butt them away from the best grazing, from the places in which, you know, it's so nice to lie down. And if you read all of Ezekiel 34, that's exactly what's described there. And we didn't read all of it because of time. But it's very important. This is applied to the church. God cares about this kind of thing. He wants to get rid of the rivalry and the tension and the competition in any flock. It's so harmful to have conflict and jealousy in a flock of sheep, it's true. The sheep become edgy and tense. They won't eat, they won't rest, they lose weight. Now, for some of us, say, well, that would be a good thing for me. But you know that when we have sheep and we have cattle, we don't want them to lose weight. They get sick, literally. They just don't prosper, they don't flourish. But again, when the shepherd comes into view, then something amazing happens in a flock of sheep. And you can probably guess it. all the sheep, even that old weathered ewe, they forget about the rivalries and their fighting, and the budding order ends when the shepherd's there. They start to thrive again when they know that the shepherd is present. How come? Because he's the owner, right? He's the manager. And when he is there, they all have to humble themselves under him. So the competition, the rivalry, the budding order, it ends. And brothers and sisters, that is the description that the Holy Spirit gave in Ezekiel 34. And it's about the church of God. The little rivalries, the jealousies, they can lead to horrible hatred and trouble in a flock. And we have to overcome them. This is part of killing the old man, if you will. If we don't, we will never flourish as a flock of God. And how do we overcome it? Well, we don't overcome it by man-made means. All the false psychological theories that Freud invented. And, you know, what the church growth movement invented. And we don't overcome it, you know, by doing more butting. Instead, the budding order ends. And it ends when? When we personally and we all together, we cultivate and prayerfully work at having a keen awareness of the presence of our shepherd, so that we submit together to him. He's the one who leads us. We don't lead ourselves. Just like in a flock of sheep, so too in the flock of God. There are no individuals who manage themselves. And by that I mean as if they're a law to themselves. It doesn't work. Even elders and pastors. Yes, the chief shepherd uses them to be under-shepherds, they're called in 1 Peter chapter 5. Under-shepherds. See, even in that name, they are under the chief shepherd, who is the good shepherd. So they don't manage themselves either. So you see, the good shepherd leads us, yes, by using elders and pastors, but they are his under-shepherds. They lead us, but they and we all, we need to understand. You know, there's something about caring for sheep that's very different from other animals. A cattle owner, a rancher, he chases the cows. As a kid, I had to go get the cows for milking time. And I have to chase them. If you go ahead of them, well, they aren't coming. You can forget it. But a shepherd of sheep, you can't chase them. You have to go in front and lead so that the sheep will follow. And you see, elders, they are called to lead the flock, to shepherd the flock. They're used by the good shepherd so that their work, their service, their ministry is a means of grace. In other words, through their ministry, especially the word and the sacraments, the Holy Spirit works to bring his soothing presence so that there would be a sense of calm and humility and altogether lean on the word of the Lord, the Good Shepherd. He's the Good Shepherd. He leads me as a sheep in his flock. By his word, he leads me into pleasant enjoyment of safety and rest. That's our first point. And it also means what we have in our second point. He leads me into places of peaceful nourishment. Notice our text, verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Green pastures speaks about places of nourishment. So you see, the safety and the rest is there also because I find nourishment. So I'm able to eat because I have peace. And I have peace because I'm able to eat. I feed on God's word because I am at rest. But also I find rest because I eat and I feed on his word. It works both ways. But, brothers and sisters, we need to see, we need to reflect on this. Those green pastures, they are not there naturally. David knew it very well in the setting that he wrote this in, the land of Palestine. In itself, it's a dry and brown, it's sunburnt and hard. Green pastures are not there naturally. In the land of Palestine, if you find a green pasture, it's there only because there was great labor and skill and a lot of planning of shepherds. And, of course, the green pasture is essential for sheep. Again, if they have no food, they will never rest. And they will never rest if they have no food. Well, brothers and sisters, that's God's picture to us of our need for nourishment in the Word of God. Yeah, the future may well bring with it many disturbances. But in all of those disturbances, do you and I see how important it is that we are able to feed on the Word? And yes, it's especially the Word that's preached to us. That's how the Lord will bring us peace and give us food and nourishment. And it's very important to remember, the ability to feed on His Word, it doesn't come naturally. We need the skill, we need the planning of the Good Shepherd. And you know it. His plan is that each Lord's Day, we especially then feed on Him, on His Word. We separate ourselves from the world and the cares of our work and so on. That's why He gave the fourth commandment. A day that's set aside to have time for worship. When we don't live by it, we only hurt ourselves. And then we wonder why we have this or that problem. See, it's through that word that He works to clear, if you will, the life of the rocks and the stony soil of unbelief. And the rocks and stony soil, they may take in the word for a while, but it's all lost. The Lord knows how to tear out the roots of bitterness from us through His word. He has the skill through the word to soften a proud human heart. Hearts that are as hard as the sun-dried earth of Palestine. And in ourselves, that's me and you too. In His grace and His goodness to us, He will sow the seeds of the Word. And He will sow that in well-cultivated hearts or soil. A heart that's at rest and that is able and ready to receive, to feed on the Word of God. And then also to drink. That's why our text says, He leads me beside still waters. See, He provides the still waters, but He not only provides them, He also leads us to them. And those still waters, they're not natural either. They need to be provided, and we need to be led to the refreshing, clear water. Because we must confess that we live in the midst of a dry and thirsty land. That's the Bible's description in the Psalms of a world of unbelief. Well, if sheep aren't led to those waters, then sheep will often turn aside and they'll drink from polluted potholes. And when they do, they'll get all kinds of disease and pestilence. And that too, brothers and sisters, that's a picture of the flock of God, of the church. How we so easily turn aside and we try to find fulfillment, if you will, in the dirty pools, the dregs of this world, you know, the waste disposals. We are all thirsty. We thirst for fulfillment in life. But we are called to stay away from looking for it in all kinds of substitutes. When we do, we will never be dissatisfied. We will never be satisfied, sorry. That's why you see faces of desperation, of discontentment, unhappiness, dissatisfaction. Because we try to create our own places of still waters. We can't create them. We have to look to our good shepherd. He plans them. He works to prepare them. He leads us to them. In the midst of our living in a confused and sick society and culture, Jesus Christ comes to you and to me as shepherd, like in John 7. And he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We will not know that kind of peace and contentment. And we will not show those fountains, you know, rivers of living water from our hearts, unless we come and drink from the water of the Good Shepherd. You know it by now. When Jesus says, drink of me, that means take him in. By faith, receive his Spirit. To drink of Jesus means that the very life of Christ becomes part of us. So his character becomes our character. His righteousness is our righteousness. Yes, in our daily lives. And it happens as his Spirit works the truth of his word in us. Then, out of our hearts, will flow rivers of living water. In conclusion, dear congregation, brothers and sisters, as we sit here this morning, let us recognize that the shepherd knows us. He knows the human heart and soul, just like a good shepherd knows sheep. He created us, and he knows that we have a great capacity for God. He put it in us. We hunger and we thirst, and we are never satisfied until we know God intimately as shepherd. Remember, he made us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. And that's why we are never satisfied with any substitute. It doesn't matter what it is. We'll never have satisfaction. We'll always be looking for, you know, the next thing. And you can see it all about you. Even the physical comforts of life. They're only true and they're satisfying when we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. To the ungodly, the greatest abundance. It's still a dry and thirsty land. I've worked for some of the wealthiest people in a very large city. And because I worked for them, I managed things for them, I got to know them and their families, and it was so sad to get to know them. their wives, one was suicidal. They faced deep depression and so on. The greatest abundance, it's just a dry and thirsty land. But to the godly, everything, even physical comforts, but other things too, even hardships, they become a green and lush pasture. They find satisfaction. But how sad it is that few Christians actually enjoy the life that's described here in Psalm 23. Few Christians truly enjoy a life of quiet overcoming, a life of happy rest, a life of confidence in the presence of God and in the presence of men. A life of contentment in the management of their lives, how their lives are going. A life of safety and rest and peaceful nourishment. And so often, it's because we prefer to feed on the dry emptiness of this world. We look for all the dregs, you know, the remains of unbelief. And we think that's going to be satisfying. Again, from the law, 1 Peter 2, it's about the lust of the flesh. It wars against the soul. In other words, you won't find an inner satisfaction in any of it. So, brothers and sisters, let us now, in the beginning of this new year, let us recognize by faith that our shepherd loves to see you and me contented. He loves to see you and me quiet and at rest and relaxed and nourished and peaceful. I know, we hear this and we may ask, is this real? Can this be real in my life? This kind of living, contentment, safety, rest? Isn't this just some, you know, ideal, some nice theory? As we say, a pie in the sky by and by? Is it only in heaven, in eternity, that we will have this? Is your only comfort, as we confessed earlier, only in death and eternity? No, brothers and sisters. No. It's real. It's real also in this life. The Lord calls you and He calls me to put our unlimited faith and trust in Him. He leads. And more, we learn to follow. And when we do, we come to see that always He is there. He's there day and night. Also when life sometimes overwhelms us. When all the things that come to us would destroy us. When we would just want to run. Then we know that Jesus, as the shepherd, He is there. And He's not going to leave us. Because He's not a hireling. So we truly in our lives, we find safety and rest. And we thrive. And we flourish. We eat from the pastures and we drink deeply from the waters that He leads us to. And more we see that no one can snatch us out of His hand. And in the unknown, even the panic and the fear that's caused by the unknown, well, we know. And may you remember this. It's known by God. I mean, there's a great object lesson even in how we got to where we are today here in this building, isn't it? When we started out, well, I can assure you, I pictured us being worshiping here, maybe not with everything nice and clean, but we'd be able to worship here in a couple of months. It went month after month after month. Unknown to us how long it would be, but known to God. And that's the way it is in all our lives. In the building of our lives. He plans it all, He knows it all, and He will help you through it all. So may we, as the flock of God, may we thrive in this year, 2020, so that in all things we can say and we can know deep within us, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. Amen. Let us pray. Loving and gracious Father in heaven, how thankful we are that we have a shepherd who cares for us and will not leave us nor forsake us. And we never have to despair. We never have to panic. Oh Lord, bless your word to us. May it accomplish the purpose that you have given it here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.